This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, that's the question, isn't it, Mr. Mark Cabali?
Fresh from Florida.
Fresh off a long trip from Florida today. He took two airplanes. Did everything go well there? I had a little confrontation on the way back from Florida the other day because I was on Southwest and it became problematic.
Both ways. It was empty seats all over the place. And I appreciate you offering me to come in here, and this cabinet falls on my ankle and almost breaks my ankle as soon as I come in here.
You don't need that to happen again.
My goodness, that clobbered me right in the ankle.
I know.
Maybe that's because I ate some of that pizza already. That's the only reason why I came in. I was driving by, and Limits said, I'm coming on. I'm like, I'm driving by, and I'm thinking, wait a second. It's pizza day.
Yeah, man. Slice some Broadway. But there's more important matters to attend to. You were involved in a social media moment other day.
Really?
You were at the owners' meetings. I'm sure you know this, and you've already talked with Doran Dickerson on our air, but we want to hear the story for ourselves because Bob and I are skeptical. You got the front row seat next to Tomlin at his media address. Next thing anybody knew, it certainly looked like you were sleeping sitting next to Tomlin. It's led to many theories. Was Mark on illegal substances? Was Mark sleeping? Was Mark staging this for the benefit of the Pat McAfee show? We know that you're a blue check. We know that every engagement you get, I think you get money. That's what people are saying. What happened the other day when you were seated next to Tomlin and we all saw the photos and the video? The floor is yours, my friend.
Do you want the Cliff's Notes version or from the beginning?
From the beginning?
Well, like this I told be you lengthy. Before, I've been there and I know how early those things are. I think that contributed to it.
Yeah.
All right. The day before Sunday, Mike Tomlin talked to about 8 to 10 of us local guys there. 25 minutes, sat down, very similar place. It might have been the same actual room. And went over everything, you know, everything possible. So there's nothing else you could really ask him at that point. During this engagement, I asked a question. I was right across from him. As I started to ask the question, he gave me that Mike Tomlin glare, big eyes, just like staring into my soul. Then I start like stammering and stuttering. And I finally got it out, and everybody's laughing at me. So fast forward to the next day. 7:45 a.m., this breakfast, they call it, with all the coaches. I get there early. There's a million people around Mike Tomlin. Small room. You could tell it was hot because you saw Mike Tomlin's sweaty head. People jammed all over the place. I end up saying, okay, I'm here early. I'm sitting right next to Mike Tomlin because I don't want him glaring into my eyes again and me stuttering and stammering again as he's staring into my soul. I can at least glance off to the side a little bit. But then I'm thinking, wait a second, I can't videotape him. Because I couldn't videotape him the day before. We're not allowed to. So We start there, and we're talking. I'm having, you look real closely, Joe. My phone is like this, and it's hard to say on the radio, but it's tilted here so I can see what he's doing. Meanwhile, as I'm taping him, I am processing some of the things we're being asked him while also thinking, we asked him 25 minutes worth of questions yesterday. What else do I need to ask him? So I'm thinking. The great Mike DeFabo decides to take a video at that point, post it, and it looks like I'm sleeping when I'm really just in deep thought thinking, what am I going to ask him next, while glaring at my phone to make sure I have him in frame so I could post some of the video. And that was it. Then it just absolutely went crazy.
But you like the fact that it went crazy,
you
right?
Know, at first it was fun, but after the 400 millionth time, somebody's like, you sleeping piece of garbage. You got the best job in the world, and you can't even stay up. It gets a little frustrating. Well,
you have to learn to not pay attention to that stuff.
Bob, you've heard the testimony. Let the cross-examination begin. What's your question? I've got some.
My only question would be, you pointed your camera in direction.
Yeah, I was real close to him, so I had to go like this to get that bad angle. If you see him, I'm close to me.
You don't strike me as someone, however, that would be afraid of looking straight into his eyes.
Yeah, but he just glared in my soul the other day.
See, that's the flimsy part of the argument.
No, it was.
Here. What do you care what somebody glares into your soul?
I have the audio.
And how is it going to? How is sitting closer to him?
So I didn't have to make eye contact. If he was glaring at me, I could have just turned to the side a little bit.
You could have stood behind him.
So I was rattled. I didn't want to stand because people were jamming it.
But those who have doubts said you picked that seat right next to him. So it's convenient to take a picture if you happen to delve off.
It's a funny thing you should say that because Alan Saunders was sitting right next to me.
The alley cat.
And I said, Alan, I got to be very careful of my facial expressions during this because there's five cameras in front of me.
That's a good point.
I said, I got to be very careful of this. And meanwhile, 2 seconds later, I don't listen to my own advice.
Okay. I need to hear the following statement. I, with your right hand raised, Mark Cabali, was not asleep next to Mike Tomlin.
I was not asleep. I'll bet anything in the world. Anything's possible.
Joe,
hold on. Now,
I've talked to sleep
experts.
I have an authority on this. A sleep expert said if you fell asleep, your head would immediately go down.
Maybe my mouth was open.
He did. And then when Tomlin talked, he perked up like someone had injected him with caffeine.
He won't admit this, but I think the time of this thing, it's early in the morning, too. You may just close your eyes. All it takes is one picture, which is not necessarily true.
That's
dozing off then a little bit. I am not representing Mark Cabali.
Did you doze off?
Giving you that.
Listen.
He also just protested too much. I asked him for a simple explanation, and he went overboard.
No, I just told you every single thing that happened. After this happened, I'm getting text messages from certain former players laughing at me, and I said, yeah, trust me. You've been in his room when he's droning on. You tend to, lose the state of not consciousness. Lose your ability to pay attention. They're like,
Did you snooze off for a brief moment?
I just woke up like 20 minutes before that.
That adds to my point.
Well,
you're still tired.
See,
I was not tired.
You were tired.
I did not even take a nap. I did not sleep. It had nothing to do with that. I videotaped it, which I normally don't do, but I knew that if I videotaped it, the show, Pat would use it or could use it. So it's, especially with Rogers. So that's why I videotaped it.
All right.
You have to understand, it was in a corner too, so there was very little room. Joe Rutter was rubbing his belly on me the whole time during this thing, too, so this could have had an effect, too.
Was any part of it staged to increase engagement, to make it look like you were sleeping?
No, I didn't know anything till after the fact. I left.
You would need to call in another witness, and that would be Mike DeFabo. He took the picture.
Yeah. Batista was there. Rutter was there.
Yeah, everybody was there, but they were behind me. There wasn't many people in front of me because it was in a corner spot. So there wasn't many people in front of me.
Were
I don't know how I got that seat. I was there early. That's why.
Well, you staked it out. Were you drugged in any way?
No. I'm trying to think where we did the day before, went the night before that.
So, okay.
No, I didn't do anything. Was that Sunday?
I'll leave you with this.
Yeah, I might have had a margarita, but I'm not like drunk 12 hours later.
Right, but I'll leave you with this. Is that... You acknowledge that the reason the photo came out looking like it did is because when you start to think, when the wheels are turning, what happens? Your eyes go to the top of your head?
No, I was just, you see me a lot. with, I mean, Pony posted every time I do it. I mean, Mike Williams last year in Washington, I was like, looked like I had broken my leg, the facial expression. Deontay Johnson, when he was ripping on the refs, and I was like, oh, God, Deontay, what are you saying? You're going to get fined. And that was all over.
Squinting, yeah, you just squinted, yeah.
But I was right. I was in deep thought thinking, who do I need to ask? I ask about the cornerback, you know, some random person, because we already covered 25 minutes and an extra 20 minutes. We're 45 minutes into talking to Mike Tomlin. There's nothing new coming out of it. I'm thinking, okay, what can I ask and be interesting? Oh, how's Ako Inibu doing, or whatever that was, your two favorite.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I was just trying to think of something you could use later on it.
Bob, what are you left with here?
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
Just got here, Mark.
Bob, what are you left with?
I'm left with thinking that Mark is being honest.
Okay.
I am. I think so.
I did set up the old candy one. I did that on purpose.
You didn't expect that kind of response, though. He was pretty sharp with that response.
Why don't we take a listen to that, Mark? Here we go. When you said DK Metcalf eats candy was your question to
Tom. That was late in the thing.
Well, let's... Yeah, we have the same appetite for candy, me and DK. You hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Apparently he eats 4 or 5 candy bars a day.
Really?
Not me. Really? That's what he said on a podcast.
He wears it a little differently than you.
How about Tomlin?
Tomlin is Tomlin.
I love it.
He laughed a lot at that one, but I mean, he's quick with those things.
I love it. Did you get a chance to socialize with him?
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. We have our end of the meetings dinner yesterday with some of the higher ups.
Wouldn't you agree with me, though? He's much more.
He has no idea, by the way. Zero clue about the meme action. Now, Omar, no. He had no inkling whatsoever. You think that he pays attention to what anybody says? If he didn't know that that meme existed, if that was the case, he would have said something to me. If he didn't know that, you know he doesn't pay attention to anything.
Did Omar think it was funny?
He said, as soon as I walked in, after I was talking, I was talking to somebody else. I was late to the Omar thing by like 2 minutes. They were waiting for me. And he goes, hey, see any good memes lately? I'm like,
that's a good line too. Bob, now I'm curious about this. So you sat down for an informal meal with Omar, the media.
A bunch of, yeah.
How did that go?
That's tradition.
The Rooney dinner.
Yeah, the Rooney dinner.
Okay. Some of us haven't been invited, have we, Limits?
You have to go down there.
I want to go.
You have to go down there and cover it.
Yeah, I mean, there's like...
Or fall asleep during it, yes.
Like Art and Mike and Omar and Roger Goodell was there, national media.
So who sat around Mike?
It's a very strict seating chart.
Yeah.
So you have to sit at the table 1, 2, or 3. I got bumped up to 2. I was off the kiddie table. So it was me, Max Starks, Dolak, Omar. I can't remember who else. Lolly, maybe.
Who?
Omar and Lolly. They were there. Bert was there, too.
Bert, yeah.
Table 1 was the heavy hitters, like Mike, Art, his wife.
That's where Bob would have been.
Goodell.
Yeah.
Any media? And the national guys, like Sam Farmer. And Mark Maskey and Judy Batista, those are the big time hitters.
I'm surprised Dulac doesn't get to that table, and Bob absolutely would have been.
I think he gets a little not perturbed, but I think he would like to be in that table.
He would be uncomfortable though, probably in it. That's how it is when you're that. You know.
He wouldn't be uncomfortable. He lives for that.
No,
Bob.
I understand that, but he may just want to say, "I'm fine here." You know.
Yeah. Did you get to the big table when you went?
I've been there a few times, yes.
The big table?
I don't know about the big table, no.
Big boys table?
I would be in a number 2 table.
I do have the videos of Bob about 5, 7 years ago.
You can delete that.
What was he doing?
Please delete that
at the
now.
NFL media.
With who?
Himself. He was dancing like Bruno Mars. It was at the NFL, what's that called, the party?
The party.
And of all people who were there the other day was Serena Williams, Venus Williams, and Guy Fieri. I was so... enamored by Guy Fieri.
Who's Guy Fieri?
Diners, drives, all that show he does on the Food Network.
What? Do you know who he is, Limits?
Oh, come on.
Guy Fieri? Yeah.
Everybody knows who Guy Fieri is.
He's a big sports fan, too.
Yeah, I think he's tight with Glazer, who's also tight with
Tomlin. Now, have you ever just sat down with Tomlin and had a drink at camp or anywhere and just BS'd with him and had fun?
Maybe 15 years ago
yeah.
when he was first there. he would be at Dino's and we'd be talking Karate Kid and stuff like that. He's a big Seinfeld
guy.
By
the way, to clarify, I was not dancing by myself.
Oh, there was one that was, I got
Matthews.
It.
There was a song.
There was one with Missy.
We danced, so we danced.
There was one with Missy, and there was one where you were definitely dancing to Bruno Mars. And put it this way, he put it online.
I think I remember
that.
The
next morning, it was gone. I'm like, Bob, what happened? He goes, my wife called me.
Hard time pump, baby. You know me.
So, hold on.
I was having a little bit too much fun that night, I think.
Rewind again. Tomlin is a big Seinfeld guy.
Yeah, Seinfeld, Karate Kid, those 80s movies. Now he's a big gymnastics because his daughter's.
Yeah, and she's doing really well.
I think they're in the tournament in Seattle this weekend. I guess she's a freshman, and she's actually in the starting lineup.
And his son is making an impression, yes?
Yeah, apparently he had a pretty good pro day, and I don't think Mike was very...
What?
He was a little surprised at how well of a pro day this kid had.
That's awesome, actually.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we can move on, Bob. I'm left with some suspicions, as much as I like this guy sitting across from me.
It felt like it was Matlock or something here today.
No, I believe you, Mark.
Perry.
I don't, actually, Perry, but I'm going to move on. Perry Como.
No, Perry Como's a singer. Perry, what was it? Come on, Bob.
thought,
the lawyer, Perry something.
The show.
Oh, I know.
Perry. I thought it was Perry Como.
Perry Nelson? No.
What
is it?
Perry.
Everybody in the radio. Well,
someone on the text line will figure it out.
Yeah, I can't think of
the yelling
it's
us
a
right
detective
now.
Show.
I don't know. If it's not NCIS or Chicago PD, I'm left out to dry.
Perry Mason?
Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Perry.
Woo-hoo,
Perry Mason, that's it.
Woo-hoo.
All right, let's move to the important stuff. Percent chance that Aaron Rodgers is coming here up to what, 99, 100?
I'm saying maybe a click over 99. I think they truly believe that it's a 99% plus possibility.
Do you believe there's a handshake agreement already taking place?
I think put it this way, I think they truly are believing that is, but they're not going to come out and say publicly because how bad would that look if the 41-year-old with who you already said that almost a handshake agreement said, nah, I'm doing something
well,
else.
Wouldn't,
you would look really, I mean, even worse than you do now.
Right? Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Right.
As Pony said yesterday, Art already has parted ways with Steeler tradition by talking about a free agent with a pending deal. They never do that. So wouldn't he look horrible anyways by going as far as he did yesterday?
Yeah.
If Rodgers didn't sign here?
I think Art knows. Everybody knows. So he was able to give a little sound bite there to add a little bit of color to it. I do truly believe that they think it's a done deal. It's just a matter of when.
Will the number on the contract, the annual salary, start with a 3 or a 4?
It should be 3, right?
If it's 3, it's going to be low 3. It might be at the 3.
That's what I said.
It's not going to be crazy.
You don't think $40 million?
It's not Dak Prescott money. It's not going to be Joe Burrow money, but it's not going to be Justin Fields money either.
See, I'll be surprised if it's below $40 million a year.
I don't think so.
Is it going to be for more than 1 year?
I think, isn't the Jets still on the books for some of his salary? Because they released him?
I saw a little bit of that, but I'm not sure how much. So that would be the second year in a row that they're getting help from another team. But it is a one-year proposition, right? And they still have to deal with their quarterback issue moving forward at some point.
Yeah, I mean, they have, what, $35 million under the cap. I mean, they got plenty of money to spend because they could still restructure contracts as well. The money's not the issue right now. So they always spend to the limit. So if you're looking at, they have $34 million, they need, you know, 10 in excess to get through the season. You're looking $30 million. I would say 1 for $30. I don't know if they would go 2 just to spread it out more. I don't think they would do that. You know, 2 for $60 million, but you know, next year is just a voided year. I mean, I don't know if they would go that route, but they could do that to save money this year.
And have we reached the point now where you're convinced that he'll have both Metcalf and Pickens, not trading Pickens?
Unless George just goes absolutely crazy and says, I want out, I want out, I want out. I asked Tomlin, I said, have you talked to Georgie? Because I've talked to him many a time, but not about DK. I don't think they have any – they have zero interest in trading him. Now, if things get a little pretentious between now and
– So they're going
draft,
to.
Maybe, but I don't. I they have no thought about trading him right now.
Even though they might be able to, you know, recoup a pick now that they could use in this year's draft, or do you they play it out? And then if it's a good season, can they franchise him? Will
they
franchise him?
I think they would franchise
him. It's a lot of money.
It would be 25, but what are you doing? If he has a good season – and he leaves free agency, you're going to get a third-round pick for him next year in the comp pick selection. What was the best you get for him this year? A two, if you're lucky?
You don't think there's even a remote chance that they'll have, like, the Bengals' two highly paid receivers, do you?
That's a lot of money.
But you got to find your next quarterback, too. You have to find your next quarterback.
I know, but the Metcalf deal really turned out to be not that exorbitant in the end. It's only guaranteed two years, I think.
It's what the market is, too.
Yeah, you know what? Now you think about it, I think that could – I wouldn't take that off the board just for the fact if you can get that entry-level quarterback, you got money to spend someplace else, right?
That would be the key, but it has to be solved here now or next year for sure.
It's going to be solved. I mean, regardless, I mean, if you even go, I don't think they're going quarter. I mean, I'm almost, sorry, Joe.
No darts.
We're close into the 90%. They're not taking a quarterback in the first round. They might go third, fourth, whatever, but I don't, what I'm under the understanding is they're not interested in a quarterback in the first round. So that means you're going that route of drafting next year, and he's going to have to sit a year anyways, and Mason might be your quarterback next year.
Let me ask this question differently then. You say they're not interested in a quarterback in the first round. Are they not interested because of where they reside at pick number 21, or would they be interested if they happen to move up?
Excellent question, Bob.
I don't think they're interested because he's – Jackson Dart, okay, maybe he's good, but he's not a surefire. He's a Kenny Pickett. Clone-ish. People were talking about him being...
I find that rather insulting.
Well, some people are saying he's a worse version of Kenny Pickett.
I know, and some people are saying he's Bo Nix or
but
Jalen Hurts.
But if you do Jackson Dart, you have to commit to him 3 years minimum?
Well, like, here's my question, because Limits brings this up. What's the difference if they take somebody at 15 next year? Are you reaching then, too? I think we've come to a point where people are so traumatized by Kenny Pickett that unless they get a top five pick, everybody else they take is going to be, what are you reaching for Pickett again? This is going to take a year. He's going to have to do, are you sure next year's crop is that much better in the middle of the first round?
I'm not sure next year's crop's any good. I'm not sure if you don't find somebody in the second round this year, it would be better. I mean, that's why I'm always against tanking. Tank for a top 10 pick to get a quarterback. There's no guarantee you're getting anybody if you tank.
But that's your best chance.
Is it?
Yes.
I'll tell you, Eli Manning was the last top 10 pick quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Everybody else has been 10 up.
Every one of those Lombardi trophies over there was born of bad seasons, so you could get a quarterback.
What I'm saying is you can... History is stating over the past 18 years that somebody past the 10th overall pick is winning the Super Bowl. You don't have to have one through 10.
Tom Brady's also won 7 out of those 17 or 18, though.
Well, I mean,
that's like close to half.
I mean, Mahomes, I'm saying that's the, I mean, you put Mahomes in there, what was he, 11, 12?
I mean, okay, let's put top 12 then, and then that includes Ben and Mahomes.
Well, I'm just saying top 10. We go even numbers in the United States.
You got to have... For the most part, have a losing season to get that guy. For the most
part. You're at least in a better position if that happens by virtue of where the draft puts you.
Yeah.
That's it. But tanking is a tough proposition, though. I think it's not as easy as it seems because it still comes down to making the right choices. And that doesn't matter if you're drafting 10th, 29th. You still have to hit on these picks, whatever
they
may be.
I mean, it worked for Cincinnati and Buffalo and, many other teams.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Bob.
I mean, Buffalo were fortunate, right? A lot of people weren't very happy with the Josh Allen pick at the time, right?
Yeah, but the only reason they were in position is because they were a horrible team.
And what only matters is if the club is right, and they were
right. Wasn't there a bunch of other quarterbacks taking that draft to end up stinking? Top first rounder? I can't remember that draft specifically. I thought there was a lot of hit and misses on that one. I mean, the one with Josh Rosen, too.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a lot of mistakes in this situation. Remember him?
He was, sure you could. But you want a losing season would give the Steelers their best chance to get a quarterback.
I understand that, I'm just saying put you in a better position.
Yeah. You know what else would help, though? If you do have that core in place, and say Aaron Rodgers is even a shell of his MVP-type self, then you got some – you're cooking with gas, brother.
I mean, I still think there's a possibility.
There's still a possibility that if he gets properly protected, he can be a he can deliver the ball where it has to be.
The arm's not a problem.
The arm is not, and neither is the brain, as Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't think the legs are either, because I think last year he dealt with multiple injuries.
Now we're trying to talk ourselves into Aaron.
Could.
If I had asked you this on the last day of the season, you would have been saying all – if I had asked you this right after
February 24th, I think I tweeted.
Yeah, if I had asked you this right after the Steeler-Jet game last year when he threw two balls to Beanie, what would you have said?
This guy would look good
in black and gold?
Well, not at the time, because Russell was looking good at that time. But what I'm saying is he has the ability – the problem is he's 41, right?
He'll be 42 by the season.
He'll be 42. And those injuries that he had to deal with last year, there was a bunch of nagging ones, can easily pop up again.
That happens with our bodies, doesn't it? And then there's a guy like Tyler Shuck, who's older than Ron Cook, going into this draft. Do you think they'll take a guy like him in the second or third round?
Brandon Whedon, right? 2.0.
Yeah, right.
I think Jalen Milroe has – if you're going to put one name out there that they seem to be high on – maybe he's it later. Yeah. I don't know if that's the right call either.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Will Howard, I don't think. I wouldn't think so. I don't even know who else is left there in that middle round without just, you know, throwing away a pick. I agree. You have to find somebody. If you can take a Milroe in the fourth, if he gets there, I don't know if he will or not, that's not bad. Then you follow that up next year with somebody.
Right, you can do that
then
also.
Then all of a sudden, you don't have to turn over your room every single year, right?